Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a lovely weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, April 28th. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Gillingham man who's made a formal complaint after his dog died just days after a visit to a charity vet. We've also got plenty of reaction from the Gills after they kept their unbeaten streak alive over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a seafront bar has closed its doors after having its license suspended for failing to hand over crucial CCTV footage to police. The lease for the unit in Margate that was home to Freddy's Live Lounge has now gone on the market. Lucy's got more details for the Kent Online podcast. Luce, this is all linked to a chemical attack that happened nearby. Can you give us a little bit of background information?
Yes, well, on November 9th last year, Ronnie Tudor threw ammonia over the bar manager of the Northern Bell pub, who was left temporarily blind. Another man and woman were also caught up in the attack, and the 19-year-old was later sentenced to 6 years in prison. However, on the day of the attack, officers at the scene spoke to witnesses who said they'd seen the suspect running into Freddy's, where he was allegedly hidden by security. Police say they requested CCTV 12 times between November 11th and December 30th, and they also left messages and attended in person 5 times, but the CCTV footage was never handed over.
So who was in charge of the venue at the time and what do they have to say?
Well, the owner was Sam Weston. Now, he says the reason the video was never handed over was because they'd suffered flooding, which had corrupted the footage. He denies ever meeting the suspect and that his staff tried to hide him. Mr. Weston says water got into the CCTV box and he'd been told by the manager they couldn't recover any of the files. He acknowledges he missed calls and emails from police, but says this is down to his recovery from a heart attack and surgery.
And now council have suspended the licence.
Yes, after deliberations, a council licensing officer said the licence would be suspended for a period not exceeding 2 months, and Mr. Weston was removed as the designated premises supervisor. He'd been told he has to appoint an appropriately trained designated premises supervisor, especially in relation to the CCTV. Estate agents have now confirmed Freddy's has closed and the lease is available. It's worth mentioning too, it's not the first time he's not handed over important footage. In March 2023, there was an assault nearby, and at that time, he'd told the police the cameras hadn't been working.
Thanks, Luce.
Kent Online News.
There are calls for an inquiry following reports of bullying and discrimination at the ambulance trust that covers Kent. The GMB union wants the head of CCAM to resign. Care Minister Stephen Kinnock has been on Sky News.
It's deeply disturbing. Frankly, horrified to read some of these reports, and we have to leave no stone unturned to ensure that if this behaviour has been going on, that it's rooted out, that people are held to account, and that we ensure that it never happens again. So we are looking at this very closely, and we'll certainly be keeping people updated on what we're doing in terms of the investigation and ensuring that no stone is left unturned until we've got this sorted.
The spokesperson says allegations have been thoroughly investigated and they're working to make improvements. A suspected drug dealer has been arrested near Maidstone after police seized drugs from a car travelling down a country lane. Officers stopped a vehicle in Straw Mill Hill in Tovell at around 11 p.m. on Friday. The driver, a 25-year-old man from West Kilburn in London, was taken into custody. A former teacher at a private school in Rochester has been banned from the profession after admitting to inappropriate behaviour with a student. The 36-year-old sent the pupil pictures and communicated outside of school hours before telling the safeguarding team at Ripplevale School and College about the relationship. She's been banned from teaching indefinitely and says she's disgusted by her actions. There are calls for cars to be seized from so-called boy racers in part of Kent and immediately crushed. People living in Snodland want tougher action after reports of antisocial behaviour on the A2 228 between Holborough Lakes and the town centre. A public space protection order is in force in the area, giving the authority the power to hand out fines. But Chatham and Aylesford MP Tris Osborne wants more to be done.
We're introducing much more robust powers around seizure of vehicles, including nuisance bikes and boy racer vehicles. And that law is passing through Parliament as we speak. But actually, these powers, PSPOs elsewhere in the country, are being enforced more robustly. And even within Kent, Dartford is a great example, and Medway, of where the number of boy racer meetings have significantly decreased because of the proactive work of police. So what we're saying is the police do excellent work, but it's too. But we need to focus it in particular areas. And I will say Tunbridge and Walling have had success in New Hythe Lane, in Larkfield. So they can, when pressed, deal with this issue. And all I'm asking is that Stodland be given that focus for the next several months.
Obviously, you were a Medway councillor before. We've spoken a lot about this, about the issue of nuisance vehicles. PSBO came in last year when you were still a councillor, before you became an MP. You introduced a wall of shame last year to Medway Council and a new PSBO came in. In the past year, in Medway particularly, do you think it's got better? Do you think the situation with nuisance vehicles has improved?
So, look, that power was a toolkit which allowed the police to go and catch these criminals. I myself actually went out on an operation in November last year with the North Kent Division, so that includes Medway. And actually, the toolkit itself isn't what they're after. They need the Section 59 legislation, the national legislation, to allow them to seize these bikes rather than just to slap them with a warning. And that is the current law as it currently stands under the previous government. So I completely acknowledge, you know, that these toolkits ultimately are within the legislative environment that we have. And I don't think they're working as well as they should be. This is a nationally wide problem, which is the reason why, as part of that legislation, we are making it more tough. And look, there are questions around police resources. There's always going to be challenges around how they deploy their resources. I know these operations are very resource intensive. It is a challenge to catch these people because they have to follow guidelines around how they can stop vehicles in a safe manner. So I'm not claiming this is easy, and I'm not claiming to have a magic wand. There have been nuisance bikers and boy racers for decades now in many of our towns and cities. What I am focused on is trying to give the toolkit to the police so that they can seize these vehicles and crush them as quickly as possible.
The council say they are looking at what more can be done to tackle the issue.
Kent Online News.
There's been a huge police presence in Dover as protesters held an anti-immigration march. Hundreds of people turned up for the event yesterday. Paul Golding is among those calling for action to stop the boats.
We're not here to promote Britain First. We're here to show our support for these brave people that have come up here, because the illegal immigration crisis is out of control. They pass through peaceful country after peaceful country. They're primarily working-age, fighting-age young men. Now, when we see a war situation, what happens? The women and children flee and become refugees. The men stay behind and fight. But we're seeing the opposite with this lot, because their economic chances, they're being drawn to this country because of the generosity of our government. Now, they've stolen our winter fuel allowance from our pensioners. There's pensioners freezing to death every winter. There's homeless veterans on the streets. Everyone's struggling to pay their bills. We should spend our funds, our taxes, on British people, put our own people first for a change.
Lorraine Corrigan lives in Dover and was part of the protest.
It's good just to bring the spotlight here. It was just to make the point in a large number so that the rest of the country can see it through the news, because nobody wants to talk about what's going on. They're still trying to keep a lid on the problem. We need the illegal influx to stop, and we need the legal migration to be properly monitored and all of the processes in place used. Everything's there, the laws are there we need, and no one's applying it for some reason, and I can't work out what they're playing at.
A counter demonstration was also held in the town. Ivor Riddle was there in support of Stand Up to Racism.
There are a lot of genuine people out there who really believe that this has happened, that this is an issue, because that's what they're told by the mainstream media, that's what they're told by the government. Especially the more right-wing parties who want to put that out there as the reason why everything's so bad in the country. But in actual fact, the real reason why it's all so bad is because the economy is tanking, and that's not the fault of people who come over in boats with barely a rag on their back. That's the fault of mismanagement of the British elite who run industry and run our government.
Dover resident Becky Sawbridge was also part of the counter-protest group.
It's important that we counter the arguments of the far right that try and take over the arguments about people being on boats, which we know that the government knows, that every politician knows, is a very, very small percentage of people that come into this country through the immigration system, and most of them, less more than 90%, have the right to stay here once their immigration status is done. We need safe passages coming across our channel.
Police say the event passed without any reported incidents of disorder or arrests. Now, an investigation is underway following the death of a dog in Gillingham just days after a visit to a charity vet. German Shepherd Rottweiler Cross Diesel was prescribed steroids for a rash, but his condition deteriorated. He'd also been taking an anti-inflammatory. His owner, Lee Taylor, says his death was the result of a mixture of drugs given to him.
Five days, I think I had about 6 hours sleep. I just could not focus. I just kept going online, just looking. I was thinking, like, why? What, he's dead. What could I change? Like, what could I do? But there wasn't anything, you know, because I don't know anything. You know, I'm not a vet. I'm not a doctor. If this can happen to me, and I'm quite cautious about a lot of things. Like, it can happen to anybody, you know. And I just want them to be held accountable for what's happened, you know. So. I've lost like a member of my family now, and I know he was in pain as well, and just it's just been eating at me and just non-stop, and it's just been destroying my head, absolutely destroying my head.
Pet Hospital PDSA say they were unaware of one of the medications and are carrying out a review of Diesel's care.
Kent Online News.
Railway lines in part of Kent are going to be painted white in a bid to stop them buckling in the hot weather. The idea is the paint will reflect the sun's rays during the summer months and prevent overheating that causes damage to the track. More than 2,000 train journeys on the Seven Oaks line were affected by the heat in the 12 months to March last year. That's the third highest in the country. Bob Colson is from Network Rail.
Obviously, all our rails are steel, which absorbs heat quite well. Ultimately, when rail temperatures get really hot, it can lead to the rail buckling. So it effectively goes out of alignment. You'll see pictures of rails with kinks in and things like that. And the ultimate risk is it could derail a train. So white paint on steel has good heat reflective properties. So it helps to reduce rail temperatures in certain locations where the rail is exposed to continual sunlight effectively.
And on the press release that you guys sent us, it said that the line in Seven Oaks has actually had one of the highest number of incidents over the past 12 months or so. So is that an area that you're going to be focusing on this time? Is that going to be treated?
Yes. So there'll be a number of areas we treat, and that's based around the... So each part of the rail has what we call a critical rail temperature. So the point where it becomes at risk, and that can be affected by a number of things, including the sort of hours of exposure to sunlight, whether the rail's been stressed, because if we change a rail, you then have to stress it up to the normal temperature, if we've done any sort of work that disturbs the ballast. So all of those factors are taken into account when we decide where we're going to apply the paint.
And we know that our summers, of course, unfortunately, are getting hotter and hotter because of climate change. Have you seen this sort of problem get worse over the years?
Yes. So we had a particularly challenging summer in 2022, when we had some quite extreme temperatures across southern region, and we did see a number of rail buckles as a result of that. So as part of the kind of lessons learned from that and preparation for what's likely to become probably an ongoing issue, we are sort of increasing the stress-free temperatures where we can of our rail to give it. So normally, I'd say we could operate normally. So the stress-free temperature for rail is able to withstand up to 46 degrees centigrade rail temperature, which is about 30 degrees air temperature. We're now stressing to 30 degrees, which gives us up to around about 50 degrees centigrade before we start having to intervene in terms of rail temperatures. And normally the mitigation when air temperatures over a large area start to hit above 30 degrees will be to impose speed restrictions on those areas of the rail that we know where it's exceeded the critical rail temperature. Or potentially, if it's across a vast area, we pose what we call blanket speed restrictions. So just to slow, so we can run trains normally, but at slower speeds.
And is that just in case there is a defect in the line, and if a train is going slower, there's a chance that they would see that, or it wouldn't cause as big a problem?
Yes, both. So gives the driver a greater opportunity to spot a problem, but also massively decreases the risk of a train derailing as a result.
The leader of Tunbridge and Morling Council says posting letters through councillors' doors is a step too far. Matt Borton's comments were in response to packages delivered by objectors to new homes at Ivy Farm off Wateringbury Road. Some of his cabinet say it's close to harassment, but Lib Dem councillor David Thornwell disagrees, highlighting there was nothing rude or abusive in them. Independent hotel and B&B owners in Canterbury say they're being squeezed out of the city by other short-term lets like Airbnb. There are claims there's been an explosion of alternative low-cost accommodation that's exempt from regulation and stealing local business. Unlike the majority of Airbnb operators, traditional hotels have to pay business rates, VAT, commercial waste fees and a levy to the city. Residents in part of Ashford say their bin collections are being delayed because of roadworks. Silver Hill Road in Willsborough Lees is going to be closed for the next 5 weeks for gas works. There have been complaints about the disruption. SGN say they're carrying out essential network upgrades. Now, a Kent girl who has a rare form of cancer has performed with Sam Ryder at Disneyland Paris. 9-year-old Molly Townsend Blazier has lymphoblastic leukemia. She was among a group of critically ill children who sang at the launch of the Disney Music Festival over the weekend.
Kent Online News.
The new tenant of an historic village pub says he wants to transform it into a food destination and community hub. Matthew Sankey's grandparents took on the Georgian Dragon in Speldhurst near Tunbridge Wells in 1965. They became known for their game dishes and served high-profile customers like Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. The tenancy was taken over by Brackspear Brewery when they died, but it's now been passed back into the hands of the family. Now, Matthew says he wants to make it the sort of venue the community deserves. He's been chatting to reporter Alex Langridge.
Around mid-March, we received a phone call from the outgoing tenants asking us to look into taking over the tenancy. And of course, for me, that was a no-brainer. We're incredibly grateful to the outgoing tenants and Brackspear for making this all happen. And essentially, my team and I were able to get about 6 months' worth of work compacted into 3 weeks to make this happen.
And obviously, opened 10 years ago. How has it been kind of the last week or so?
It's been incredible. The support we've had, particularly from the local village behind me, has been massive. Opening, getting the keys at 10 a.m. on Monday and opening at 12 o'clock was probably quite a bonkers thing to do. But the only way to find out if something, where things need to be fixed is by breaking them. So a bank holiday weekend is definitely a way to kind of really give it a big push.
Really throw yourself in and yourself in. Obviously, you said, you know, you've got quite a connection to this place. Can you talk about the heritage and your kind of heritage of Georgian Dragon?
Yeah, so this, in the 1960s, this was my grandparents' pub. And they ran a really successful business here with such amazing clients as Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, kind of the Beckhams of the time. And it was only when they passed away that my father decided to sell the property. That was in the 90s, so it's been a little while since we've been here. So coming back really feels like home. I remember running around this building as a tiny little toddler, I'm really pleased that my daughter's now doing the same, which is great.
And what can people kind of expect now going forward with the Georgian Dragon?
So our aspirations for this site are to be two things. So it's got to be a destination eatery, a gastro pub if you like. So we've got a really talented chef, Gary Jarvis. He's super talented, he creates an amazing menu. But at the same time, this is the hub of our community here in Speldhurst. So we do have some more affordable and simpler dishes on the menu, like Speldhurst bangers and mash.
Four Kent towns could be getting new Lidl stores. The supermarket chain is investing £500 million into opening 40 new sites across the UK. They're searching for potential locations in Faversham, Dover, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells. And an albino wallaby has been spotted on the loose near Dover. Experts from Wingham Wildlife Park were called to help capture the animal. It's believed to have been an escaped pet.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and Gillingham's final home game of the season has ended in a 1-1 draw with Swindon Town. The Gills finished the match with 9 men after Joe Bodie and Johnny Williams both picked up second bookings. Here's boss Gareth Ainsworth.
At the end, I don't know what's going on. I have to watch the video, but there's a scuffle at the goal mouth. Obviously, the assistant referee's called it. Yeah, unfortunately, Joe's got a second yellow. They didn't seem to get punished that bad, but it's football. And then just before that, Johnny gets sent off on a second yellow. I think he said it's his first red card. You know what? I don't want red cards, but I like the fight in them. I like that, you know, I like that they are standing up for themselves and they are doing the right things for me, you know. We're unbeaten, which is still really good. I'm really proud of that. And again, I think what, one or two shots on target from Swindon today. Nothing major, you know. The free kick's obviously a brilliant free kick. I think Glenn's just trying to step to, because his vision was impaired, you know, and he's just caught him off at the right time. But our goal, you know, Aaron Rowe, some brilliant magic down there. And you need these magic moments in the team. And I was really pleased Joe's got another goal. You know, he's finished well. He's growing all the time. Seeing a few players. Obviously, Elliot Nevitt is in a boot now, coming off, so that's a concern. But on the whole, you know, I know what's on the game. Thank you, fans, you know. Thank you, because even at half-time, we didn't play great. It was a real bitty, nothing. We didn't want to lose, they didn't want to lose game, and it was like, right. But then when we changed shape at half-time, we put more pressure on their back line. I thought we were a better team, and in the second half, just needed a couple of passes to come together well, and I think we'd have won the game. Although it's my old gaffer, and, you know, it's a honour to manage against somebody who's managed where he's managed and managed that amount of games. And he said to me, you know, fair credit to you, you know, you'll do well next year. So I'm hoping that the fans are seeing, right, you know, it's always not going to go well. And at half-time, I could feel a little bit of, like, nervousness, but stick with us. We will give everything. Those boys have given everything. And a couple of red cards, you know, I didn't know it was 9 against 11 at the end. I thought surely both of them had been sent off, but I'm glad it was only 10 seconds. So proud, really proud. Thank you, fans. Everyone give everything today. And to see the season out like that at Priestfield is a nice thing.
Fullback Romeo Hutton spoke to our reporters Luke Cordell after the game and hopes their current unbeaten run continues into next season.
It gives everyone hope, especially like the fans and, you know, the owners and stuff, that we are hopefully next season will be the season. I know it always goes one way or another when a new gaffer comes in, but it's good that we know how he wants to play going into next season, and obviously he's seen us play, even if, you know, some of us aren't haven't got enough minutes, but everyone knows that they might be here next season, or, you know, so and we've all loved on playing under the new gaffer, and, you know, I haven't heard anyone say a bad word, so yeah.
What's the difference like from now to a few months ago?
I think just positivity, and, you know, he said just give everything for me on the pitch, and, you know, he doesn't want anyone moaning at other people. It's just positive, because negativity just, it builds like from one person to another, and then in the end everyone's negative. But if everyone's positive, then hopefully that just goes through that, like, the whole club.
You must be super excited for next season, even though you need a rest.
Yeah. Yeah, I think obviously, as you said, we've gone 11 unbeaten, and hopefully we can carry on that next season.
Staying with the Gills, and goalkeeper Glenn Morris has been named a Player of the Year at Gillingham's end-of-season award show. The ceremony took place at Priestfield after Saturday's game. Sam Gale won the Young Players Award, while Robbie McKenzie got the prize for Goal of the Year. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.